Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802. To call in your real ghost story to the show. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email me your audio file if you want to record it on your mobile device and send us the MP3 or what have you. You can send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. That's how you get our stories to us. That's how you're going to hear the stories today. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you again for another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hello.
Hello. I was going to try and come up with some sort of smart-ass thing, like another episode of Juicing with Style.
Yeah, so keep doing that.
I have what looks like how would you describe this, Jenny? This cup of goodness that you see in front of you that I'm consuming, and I'm probably getting into my beard, and I probably am looking a little scary right now.
Frothy blood.
That's right. Frothy blood is what I'm drinking today on the show. And it is delicious. It's not blood, it's juice.
It's a blood-colored Guinness-looking type of beverage.
It is. Well, I'm doing in this one because I got a new juicer, and have you ever seen that documentary, the Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead? Have you ever watched that with me?
I watched it,
and I always thought it was interesting. And every once in a while, I kind of get on a juicing kick, and I enjoy it. So I am entering one of those right now, and so this one I made watermelon, which are out of season, but it's like a small watermelon I cut up.
It's completely round.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not even oblong. It's just completely round.
I don't know how they even grow them like that.
I don't know.
It's like a Frankenmelon.
Yeah.
And there's no seeds in it either. And beets, you know, from Dwight Schrute's farm, fresh beets, and a little bit of ginger. And it looks disturbing. It looks very disturbing.
I opted for the super healthy Belgian White Blue Moon for my beverage.
I offered you an apple juice, too.
Yeah, I know you did.
Like, I'll have a Blue Moon.
You're going to go with the Fat, Sick, Nearly Dead documentary. I'm more of like the Super Size Me type documentary. So that's where we're at.
Different people. Yeah, Morgan Spurlock was going to say, was that the same guy that was in Mofus?
No.
And it wasn't. It's
no,
a different
it
guy.
It wasn't.
But there you go. Do I have any in my beard?
No, you don't. But if you do, I'm just going to let you wear it because it's pretty funny.
Let's take a picture of it.
Right.
And walk around like I think there's something wrong with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Take me to a store.
Right.
Like slowly run away and make it look like you have bite marks on your neck or something. And there I am with this blood-looking stain on my beard. What could possibly go wrong is the question there. Let's go to our first caller of the day. At 855-853-4802. Hi, you're on the show.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Nicholas again from the beautiful state of Arizona. Now, I feel like I need just an entire episode dedicated to me. Just kidding, but I do call you guys way too often, I feel. But, again, I had another experience. Now, I know this podcast is not really directly related to dreams, but I do feel that my dreams kind of have like a paranormal aspect about them, and I'll leave that for you guys to judge. Now, before in previous calls that I've called in, obviously, calls, I explained how I've had dabbled a little bit with trying to, you know, hone in on my astral projection, because I did explain that once. When I was younger, or not once, but when I was younger, I used to feel that I would leave my body when I slept, and it would feel as if I was floating. And there was this instance where, I mean, it's a tone of sleepwalking, which is obvious, but it felt like I was floating. So, you know, and it wasn't my mom carrying me or anything when she found me, because in this one scenario, I guess I had sleptwalked from my room, which is right across the hall from my mom's room. We were in an apartment building. It was a two-bedroom apartment, and I had my own building. I was about 3 years old at the time, and you have children. You know the height of children. You know what they can and cannot get into. So somehow I got from my room, you know, opened up my door, walked all the way to the living room, which was a couple of feet away from my room, opened that door. I unlocked both locks, both top lock and bottom lock for the doorknob, opened the door, and I guess I disappeared for a while because my mom searched the house frantically for me. She searched everywhere for me and could not find me. And she went outside and everything and came back, and I was on the couch. Don't ask me how. I don't know how. I was way too young to even comprehend. I don't even know that that happened. But that's what my mom swore up and down. So from that point, you know, on, this sleep paralysis and just weird dreams have always been a natural occurrence for me. So last year, I had a dream where I had seen... It was like a dream where I was halfway awake and halfway asleep. Like, the best way I can explain it was like if I was split down the middle and my vision was seeing one thing and my other side was seeing another completely different vision. On the left, like, leftern hemisphere of my face, I guess, I was looking at my living room. And in the living room, it was completely normal, you know, TV, couch, whatever. I could see everything completely normal. Nothing was wrong. On my right hemisphere of my face, I could see, it was a lighter shade, it had like an orange hue to it, and in the center of my vision, on the floor, was a white dog, it was like a white Pomeranian, and I don't have any dogs right now. I do want one, so maybe that could be a tone to that. I do want a little white dog, so, I mean, it was just there, it didn't do anything, it was just like a couple of seconds, and then I was awake, and every time that I have something like this, I wake up. And I have, like, this massive headache. My eyes are just really, they're just really hurting. And it feels like when I'm in that state that someone's, like, forcing my eyes closed. Like, someone is just literally putting their fingers on top of my eyelids, and I'm trying to fight with all my might to open up my eyes. And so we'll go to the second one. The second one, somewhat similar. I'm laying on the couch. I'm looking towards my living room, no double vision this time, just straight, you know, just seeing my living room. And all of a sudden, I see my wife, her head just to, from her neck up, just peering from the wall, just like as she's like coming out of the wall. And she just turns slowly and looks at me. And then I wake up, same thing, head hurts, eyes are just, you know, feels like someone like there's just pushing them down. And it's a weird feeling. Both times I've woken up from that, I've looked outside, or the light coming from outside is like a strange white, like a white color. I don't know. It's calming in a sense when I wake up from that. This one just happened yesterday, and this is, I want you guys' help with all three of them. But I had a dream, and I don't remember the context of like the whole dream, but I just remember the little bit of it. And I'm a new father. My son is 7 months old, so I'm new to the parenting thing. But I had a dream finally about him, and we were in the living room, or a living room. It wasn't necessarily mine, but I was holding him, and then all of a sudden, you know, 7 months old, they can't really speak. So my son looks at me in my dream, and he speaks. He's speaking to me, and he says, "I'm not scared, Dad." And I'm like, "Oh, you're not scared, baby?" And he's like, "No, Daddy, I'm not scared." And then he looks away and then he looks back at me again. And then he's like, "Can I be Jaden?" Because his name is Jaden. He's like, "Can I be Jaden now?" And I'm like, "Of course, baby, you can be Jaden." And that was that. I woke up, and again, and it's not like it was a nightmare, you know? You know when it's a nightmare because you wake up and your heart is pounding and you just, you know, you're perspiring, you know, you're just sweating, you're just disoriented. You're like, oh, my gosh. But I wake up from this, like, each one of these kind of dreams that I still have some kind of deep meaning or it's going to have an impact in the future for me. I wake up from these things, I have a massive headache, my eyes are, like I said, again, it just feels like someone's holding them down. And I don't know what this means. I don't know what this is. I don't know if something's trying to, you know, connect with me. I don't know exactly what to pick up from this. When my mom was younger, she used to have sort of, premonitions. She had a premonition once that one of her cousins got killed, although in her premonition, he got killed by gunfire. But in real life, lightning struck and a vase from a windowsill fell and hit him on his head and he died. It's still pretty terrifying, you know? And I don't know. I don't want to get into too much, but I want to know what you guys think about those, or if any listeners know what, you know, have any input on that, if anyone else has had anything similar. Because as of right now, I know of, you know, astral projection, I know of sleep paralysis, I know of, you know, typical haunting stuff, but I haven't really heard anything such as that. So let me know what you guys think. Again, you guys do a kick butt job on the podcast. Trying to clean my vulgarity here, so don't judge me. Anyway, love you guys so much. Keep up the good work, and you guys have a good one.
You know, it sounds to me more like out of body experience, but with premonition mixed in.
Just a hint of premonition.
And that's not unusual when you. For some people, when they have premonitions or they see things or they have kind of a paranormal slash psychic slash whatever you want to call it moment, that they can get a headache later on or mm-hmm. not feel good later on. And so that may be what's going on, especially since his mom has a history of that. Not so much the feeling bad afterwards, but the premonition part.
Mm-hmm.
That may be a gift that he's had kind of passed down that is just now kind of coming into its own. And you know, honestly, he's a new dad. Maybe that has something to do with it as far as now this is kind of coming to the surface.
Of kind of realizing these abilities?
That or just, you know, just kind of the whole shakeup that you have when you have a child mm-hmm. and the stress that might have kind of brought this on.
Sure. I discovered that I can set fires by looking at things after we had a child. It's a superpower. I got it after we had Harper. I know what you're saying. I'm just being a smartass.
Yeah, I know.
But no, yeah, that's true. I mean, it is one of those things. Do you have any examples of that? Of after having a kid, realizing, oh, this is something that I'm sensitive to, or more sensitive to, or have. I don't want to be silly sounding, the ability to do or anything like that.
No, not really. I mean, I think when you become a parent, you change.
Sure.
And obviously it's more of a, I guess, a physical type
mm-hmm.
change for the mother. But I think it's very much a psychological and
yeah.
can be a physical change for the father, too.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, I mean, it's a wonderful mm-hmm. stress, but it's still a stress. It's still you're now in charge of another life.
Yeah.
And so I think some of that, even if it's a good stress, or maybe a I'm not adjusting as well as I thought I would kind mm-hmm. of stress, it can still be enough to kind of bring things out.
Sure.
You know, and I think part of it too could be that instinctual mm-hmm. level of, you know, thousands of years of us caring for our young,
yeah.
you know, that kind of changes when you become a parent.
It's almost like a whole new set of skills that suddenly. You know, you may be aware you could probably do them,
mm-hmm.
but the switches weren't turned on. It's just more like, yeah, it's over there, and if I had to, I could do it. You know, but all of a sudden, it's like you have the kid, and it's like suddenly all these are in go mode,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden all the other switches that may have been on before are like suddenly off.
Sure.
And it's like, or they're like, they're turned down to like mid-range or something. Like the volume goes up on all these things that you weren't expecting them to go up on. Or maybe you were expecting them to go up on, but you didn't realize just how instant that that is. It's just it is one of those things where once you have a kid, everybody says it before you have the kid. It's like you will never be the same after this moment.
Yeah.
So just be aware. And you're like, you know. No, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
It really is pretty accurate. And then with it, I think, can come all these, you know, other things. Mm-hmm. So I agree. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, my name is Chris. I am originally from Chicago, Illinois. So a lot of my stories actually go back to being a kid and growing up in Chicago. I have a lot of stories, but I thought it might be a good idea to start with some history with me going all the way back to being a really small baby. So first story, and this was told to me several times throughout my life by both my mom and my dad. Newlyweds, young, you know, young baby, about 9 months old, finally to move out of, you know, the parents' house, get their own apartment down the alley. And when they moved in, they were asked a couple times by the landlord if anything weird had happened or, you know, if everything was okay. And they were like, yeah, everything's good. So they just kind of went on, you know, painting the apartment and fixing it up. And they made friends with the lady across the hall that had lived there for a very long time. And she was an elderly lady. And her name was Carol. And she knew that my mom and dad were newlyweds and they didn't have a lot of money. So this was in the winter, right around Christmas. She gave them a Christmas tree. And it had, you know, the lights and everything on it. And my dad wanted the tree to blink in order. Top, middle, bottom was their goal. So they struggled with it all night. And my dad finally got frustrated and said, forget it, the tree's just going to randomly blink, you know. Well, whatever happens, happens. So the tree was kind of just flashing on and off and kind of doing its own pattern. And we were fine with that. I mean, whatever. So they we went to bed that night, and it was a small apartment, and it was wintertime. It was pretty cold, and I believe that we were all sleeping in the living room, which was like the warmest room, which is where the Christmas tree was. We're sleeping. You know, I don't remember this. I was a baby, but my mom and dad are sleeping, and we're all sleeping, and my mom says she distinctly remembers through her closed eyes being able to see the blinking lights of the Christmas tree. Not realizing that they had been actually asleep for a lot of hours, she got mad and she tapped my dad and woke him up and said, hey, I thought I told you to unplug the Christmas tree. And he said, I did. And she said, well, no, you didn't, because look at it. And so my dad got up to unplug it and was like kind of confused, but like half asleep, so he didn't really think much of it. So he got up to turn off the Christmas tree, and he realized, while he was standing there, he said, hey, look, and they kind of laughed because it was blinking in perfect order, top, middle, bottom, top, middle, bottom. And he was standing there, and he says, my mom, I told you I unplugged it. And so she's irritated and says to him, you know, I'm not going to argue with you, whatever. And he's standing there holding the plug of the Christmas tree in his hand. So they didn't quite know what to do. And my mom just said, okay, you know, good night. And as soon as she said that, the tree just went off, stopped blinking. Completely freaked out the next day. Of course, they were reluctant to even plug the tree back in. But when they plugged it in, it went right back to the very random patterns. And they said they never actually got to the point of getting it top, middle, bottom, like it was doing while it was unplugged in the middle of the night. So, that's my Christmas tree story. And so if you fast forward a few months later, their neighbor, Carol, had passed away. And her family gifted them a lot of her furniture, rocking chair, couch, you know, a lot of stuff. They said they knew that she would want them to have it. So the house was pretty well furnished with things from the neighbor. So a few months later, my mom is home alone. My dad's at work, and she's at home with me, and I'm about, you know, a little less than a year. And she said, I woke up really early in the morning, like screaming my head off in the room, which was unusual. So she was actually sitting, reading through the Sears catalog. And if you're old enough to remember that, before the internet, before online shopping, you got a big old thick, heavy calendar every year. I'm sorry, magazine every year that you could go through. And it was like a wish list to order whatever. So my mom was sitting there kind of circling things and just looking through the Sears catalog. And she was sitting on the pullout couch, but it was, you know, pulled out to the bed. So she said, you know, she was comfortable and she had her feet up and resting her back on the pillow and she was looking through this magazine. I started screaming. She gets up and she flips the book over to keep her spot on the in the book so she wouldn't just close the book closed. She purposely left it on the page she was looking at, flipped it upside down on the bed, came in to see what was wrong with me, if you give me a bottle. Got me, you know, settled down, got me kind of back to sleep, and she said she closed the door and she went to go back to read her Sears catalog, and when she got just in the living room, she was shocked to see that the book, the magazine, was actually no longer on the pull-out bed. It was actually across the room on the rocking chair, and she said that the rocking chair was just ever so slightly still rocking back and forth, and she said she got the creepiest feeling and could not even handle being there anymore. And she wrapped me up in a blanket, literally ran down the alley with no shoes on. And this is probably like February or March in Chicago, so it was pretty cold. She said there was still snow on the ground and she did not care. Grabbed me, ran down the alley back to my grandma's house, and actually never went back to that apartment. Had my dad and my grandpa just go and pack and bring everything out of that apartment. And that was about that for that apartment. And after we moved out, you could actually see the apartment down the alley. And the apartment, we couldn't stay rented. It was always empty. And it was really creepy because from time to time, you would see the attic light just kind of come on or off during different times of the night or day. And my grandpa was kind of friends with the landlord in the neighborhood, and he asked him, like, hey, how come you go up there and turn that, you know, light on up there? Isn't that running up your bill? And he was like, what are you talking about? Like, no one even ever goes up in the attic. Like, nobody has access to the attic, and I don't go up there. My grandpa said, well, somebody does, because that light comes on and off, you know, at its own free will. And it was just a really creepy place, and the stories just went on with the neighbors about it being haunted. And I guess after years after they moved, you know, my mom and dad stayed in the neighborhood and they were walking by and somebody came out and asked them, like, hey, are you the people that used to live here? And my mom, like, I didn't even want to stand in front of the apartment or talk about it, but they reluctantly said, yeah, why? And the first question of this young couple that was living there was, anything weird ever happened in that apartment? So yeah, I hope that wasn't too long. I have a whole lifespan. I'm 45, and that happened before I was a year old, and I have had a lot of paranormal experiences I would love to talk more with you about in the future. My name is Chris, and yeah, I hope to talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye.
I think I want to hear more of her stories, because That's pretty crazy if you just pick up your baby, leave, and never go back.
It's a pretty strong feeling one must have, I think, to get to that point.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because we get that end of the spectrum where it's literally, I'm done, I'm out, I'm never going back to, and I just shut my eyes and went back to sleep.
It's just how people are different and how they deal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I would be more, I think, in line with how the mom acted in the second story there, mm-hmm. with the, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm done. So yeah, please do share more of those stories with us. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hey, if you're not an EPP yet, extra podcast person, still plenty of time for you to sign up and get those bunk bed bells. You sign up for a yearly subscription. That's how you get the bunk bed bell when you become an EPP. You get 1 month free, and then we'll send you that bunk bed bell when you let us know you signed up and give me your mailing address, and I'll get that in the mail to you. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Or if you want, you can still do the monthly thing. You don't get the bunk bed bell with a monthly subscription, but you still get access to all of the episodes. All 100, we're almost up to like 130 EPP bonus episodes. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com. It's another story. Hi, you're on the show.
Hi there. My name is Megan Bellflower. I do have a story, but it's really not that, I guess, big of a deal. What I more so was calling about was wanting to pose maybe an interesting question for you, something that might be interesting to talk about on your show. But I guess first I'll do my story. Like I said, it's pretty small. I live in Birmingham, Alabama, and there is a place that we have here in Birmingham called Sloss Furnace, and it's actually been featured on some of the popular, like, ghost hunting shows and things like that. It's actually a beautiful old furnace. You can go and tour it. Just has, like, some really cool places that you could go and see how the steel was made in Birmingham. They have all these original, like, machinery pieces. It's just, it's very cool. It sounds boring, but it's really cool. But the coolest part about Sloss Furnace is that it has an underground tunnel. And it's quite eerie when you go down into the tunnel. Sometimes it can get flooded since it's underground, and so you have, like, water dripping from the ceiling and things like that. Well, me and a friend, we were at Sloss Furnace, and we were taking a tour, because I've lived in Birmingham all my life, never been to Sloss Furnace, thought I should go. We were down in the tunnel, and there was not really a whole lot of people that were touring it that day. There were a few people, but they were all up top. And so we were hanging out down in the tunnel, you know, trying to creep each other out, kind of a thing. And suddenly, like, we smelled cigarette smoke, like, coming out of nowhere. And we weren't sure if maybe the person that had come down before us had been smoking or something strange, or maybe it stayed trapped down there since it's kind of like underground. But nobody had been in the tunnel before us, so it was quite strange. And as we moved towards one of the pieces of machinery, it was like this big kind of like rail car looking thing that I guess someone could drive in the tunnel. As we got closer to the steering wheel, you could smell the cigarette smoke a lot stronger. So it was quite unexplainable as to how we could smell something that smelled like someone was smoking right next to us, even though there was nobody there but us, and we really didn't have anybody around us, or, you know, it was a pretty slow day for the museum and the tour, so we weren't sure. Could it have been something? We don't know. But what I wanted to pose to you to maybe talk about on the show is professionals come on before and, like, share their theory, but I wonder if some paranormal activity could be maybe angelic. I've always wondered about that, because a lot of people say that all, you know, paranormal activity is demonic, but then, like, what about some of these weird cases where these people will appear to you and then, like, disappear, and they'll, like, help you? Or they're friendly or something like that, or it's just unexplained, like, how they got there, who they are. So I just wanted to pose that as an interesting question, is that, like, maybe some of these things that we perceive as ghosts, could they actually, in fact, be angels? And I guess you could almost say the same thing about the more you know, mischievous kind of paranormal activity, or the kind of paranormal activity that is quite scary, could that be demonic? Could it even possibly be demonic in the fact that, you know, maybe demons use the shape of familiar people in order to trick us or something like that. I don't know, just an interesting thing. I read a book where someone had this kind of theory, and I was curious as to like maybe what you thought about it. Is it in a way that kind of makes it less scary? Like if you think of like maybe something that could be angelic and it's just frightening to us, you know, because it's something we've never seen before. Kind of like when, I guess, like in the original Christmas story in the Bible, how Mary is afraid of the angel, you know, that appears to her. I mean, of course, that's frightening, you know. So anyway, just an interesting question. Again, my name is Megan Bellflower. Thanks for your time. Bye.
I think to her question, yes to all the above. I think that there are some things that maybe are more angels intervening, and we, you know, can we don't know if it's an angel versus just a helpful spirit,
mm-hmm.
vice versa. Same with, we call them ass souls, you know, is it a really cranky ass ghost, or is it getting more into the demonic side of things? And we've also talked about demons trying to portray themselves as something familiar, but something's usually not quite right. There's just something a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
So she hit the nail on the head on all those.
Yeah, it's if she's, when she initially said, I wonder if hauntings could be angelic. Sure, you're exactly mm-hmm. right. That's one of the many things they could be.
Mm-hmm.
But does it mean they're all that? No.
No.
It's just kind of part of the massive spectrum of what people classify as paranormal, and it's just one, you know, piece on the wheel of fortune.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people they believe that there's just angels or just demons or angels and demons, but we are kind of like all the above, angels, demons, mm-hmm. and there's something in the middle that's a whole spectrum yeah. of varying spirits.
And that's one of those things where, you know, if you don't have a whole lot of experience on the topic, or haven't heard a ton of stories from folks on the topic, you know, I understand where that could be your perspective. I think that was my perspective for a long time, just, you know, not having a lot of education on it or a lot of stories on it, mm-hmm. other than just from very select places. And then, I mean, start listening to this show for, you know, 10 episodes. You'll very likely have a much broader idea on your spectrum of what's on the ghost wheel,
mm-hmm.
and then listen to 100 episodes and that wheel will be 10 times larger. Listen to 200 episodes, it'll be 20 times larger.
And you'll have so many more questions.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, black, white, gray, we only deal with the shades of gray in between.
Exactly. So, yes, it is indeed part of the spectrum of ghosts. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. The phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Emily. I am from California. I started listening to your show about 6 months ago, and I absolutely love you guys. You are hysterical. I am married, so I love the marital banter. It's awesome. So I have a few stories, but I mean, it all kind of started when I was fairly young. Weird stuff would happen to me, or I would see weird things that no one else in my family, that none of that stuff ever happened to them. So when I was really little, I think I was about 7, my dad's a contractor, and he built my family a house, kind of up in the hills. The area where I used to live is actually known for having a lot of Indian burial grounds. So here's that. Anyways, so my dad built this house, and it was beautiful. It was pretty big. However, I would always feel very creeped out. That's the right word. Whenever I was there by myself. Not because it was big, but even during the daytime, if I was home by myself, I would feel very uncomfortable. This one time, I was sitting on our front, I was sitting on the stairs that go up to the second floor, but as I'm sitting there, you can look out the front door, because it was basically an all-glass front door. I was sitting there waiting for my dad to get home to pick me up, and as I'm sitting on the stairs, I watch the door handle go down, push open, and then go down and push close again. And even talking about it, I get the chills because it just freaked me out as a kid, because there was no one on the other side of the door. I could see there was no one on the other side of the door. So I ran upstairs and I went and hid in my bed like that was going to do anything. But anyways, there's that to start. And a couple other stories. However, one I really want to share because it's actually a really, really cool story about my grandparents. So I have two older sisters, and we were extremely close to my grandparents. They lived about 6 hours away, but my parents would make sure we saw them all the time. I mean, their home felt like our home. We were just extremely close to them. They were married about almost 65 years, I believe. And so when I was going to college, I think it was about my second year, my grandma started becoming ill with a form of leukemia, so bad that they had to put her in a hospice home. And pretty soon after that, my grandpa, he had a seizure. He had a benign brain tumor that caused a seizure. And so he had to be taken to the hospital. Pretty shortly after my grandma was taken to the hospice care. So anyways, my sisters and I heard the news of my grandparents falling ill, my grandpa being the worst, because he was going to have to get surgery done to remove the brain tumor. So my grandpa had the surgery. Sorry, let me go back. So my grandpa had the surgery. Sorry. My grandpa had the surgery done, and everything went really well. The benign brain tumor was removed. However, my grandma was getting a lot worse. And so my dad went to the hospital. My grandpa was in recovery, and he told him, he's like, you know, Dad, Mom is not going to be coming back home. And he said, well, then our house might as well be a pile of sticks, because I do not want to go back there if she can't be there with me. So so there's that. Shortly after that, my grandpa passed away. I think that night he passed away, and so my sisters and I traveled. My dad called us and told us the news, so we we drove to go see them, or to go see my my grandma after my grandpa had passed. And it's just really sad for everybody. My dad, his sister, my sisters, and I. So shortly after my grandpa passed, my dad and my aunt decided to tell my grandmother that, you know, my grandpa had passed. She was pretty fragile at that point, and things were just going downhill. But they told her. My sisters and I were there, and, you know, she just, you could hear from her room, she was just wailing, just crying hysterically. And that night, she passed away. So they actually passed away within about 3 days of each other. It's pretty cool, but the even cooler part is that the day that they told my grandmother that my grandpa had passed, we were staying at their house, at my grandparents' house, and we just told my grandmother, and I think a few hours later, we went back to their house. Everybody went to sleep, knowing that my grandmother was still alive at that point. And I fell asleep, and I had this dream. I was, which I know now that they were actually coming to me, but I had this dream that I walked out of my bedroom, and I stood at the top of their stairs. From the top of their stairs, you could look down into the living room. And as I was standing at the top of the stairs, I looked down, and my grandma and grandpa are sitting on the couch together. And they, you know, they have their arms around each other, and they say, Hey Em, come down here. We want to talk to you." And it felt weird. I at that point I knew it wasn't a dream, so I was like, "No, you know, I don't think so." And they're like, "Well, you know, we just want to tell you how much we love you, and we just ask that you take really good care of your father for us." And that was it. And then I woke up, and knowing what I know now, I wish I had gone down there to talk to them, because I still miss them so much. That was like over 10 years ago, but it's just like it was yesterday. Anyways, I do have other stories, but I know that was a long one. Sorry about that. It's just really cool getting, almost like getting to see them together one last time. It was just cool because that morning when I woke up, I already knew that my grandma had passed away. I came downstairs and everybody told me, and I didn't say it, but I was like, "Yeah, I already know." unfortunately. So anyways, I love your guys' show. It's awesome. I listen to it on my commute. I actually listen to it before bed also. So thanks so much, and take care. Bye.
I think that is really special that they were able to, I guess, visit her together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't imagine 65 years and then losing them both within 3 days.
That happens very common, especially for couples.
Yeah.
Where it's one passes and the other passes. I understand that. But it must be extremely difficult then for the rest of the family then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think part of it is, I think there's an aspect of it where you look at it and go, well, you know, it's probably what they wanted.
Yeah.
You know, this is, and so it's a lot of grief, but it's at least from a kind of, I guess, a selfish family standpoint, if you were to look at it one way, it's going, well, it's a lot to go through when you lose either or if you're close with them. Both of it happening at the same time is maybe a little easier than one this year and then one 2 years later. It's because it's kind of going through the same thing twice.
And then you don't have the surviving spouse that you were,
yeah,
you know, worried about.
And they're depressed and then mm-hmm. trying to help them through their, you know, last days. It almost is kind of in a case like that, if that's what the other person wants to do, because the rest of those days are really just going to be kind of miserable, that's probably the best thing that could possibly happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds like, you know, they were very much like that, where it's like, they're not there. I don't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so thank you for that story and sharing those experiences with us here on the show. We greatly appreciate that. Of course, our phone number is 855-853-4802 here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure to follow us out there on social media. We're at Facebook, Real Ghost Stories Online, Twitter, Ghost Story Radio, on Insta at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat Ghost Podcast. You can interact with us on social media all day long or at 3 in the morning. Probably not going to reply at 3 in the morning, but you're welcome to send messages at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Kind of weird when that happens, but you're welcome to do it.
Oh, we get them, but they're from other parts of the world.
That's true. It makes sense. Like, oh, it's 9 there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, feel free to interact there. And please become an EPP. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Sign up. Ghostpodcast.com is where you do that. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, video materials, and more. Check it out. Ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all we ask. Check that out and help us keep this thing going called Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.